Air travelers coming into the U.S. are now 100% watchlist screened. Continental Airlines fleet service employees have a new contract agreement. And frequent flyers hate bag fees, too. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 2nd, 2010. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano announced on Tuesday that 100% of passengers on flights within or bound for the United States are now being checked against government watch lists. That fulfills a key 9/11 Commission recommendation a month ahead of schedule. TSA reached 100% watch list matching for all domestic airlines on June 22nd. Against recent criticism of the indiscriminate screening done at checkpoints, TSA Administrator John Pistole said of the watch list program, quote, "Secure flight bolsters our efforts to be more intelligence-driven and risk-based in our approach to aviation security. Our industry partners' strong commitment to security was critical to reaching the full implementation of this vital counterterrorism program ahead of schedule," unquote. Secure flight requires booking flights with your full name, including middle initial, date of birth, sex, and if applicable, a redress number. It's supposed to reduce false positives in cases of passengers with names similar to terrorism suspects, although conspicuous failures have been observed. United Continental Holdings, the new parent for recently merged United and Continental Airlines, says Continental employees reached a tentative agreement on a new labor contract with the Teamsters representing fleet service employees. The union is expected to hold a ratification vote in the coming weeks. Teamsters President Jimmy Hoffa remarked, quote, "This tentative agreement sets us up well for the merger process. It protects our members and gives our members raises and improvements," unquote. The agreement covers about 7,600 Continental Fleet Service employees throughout the United States. The recent Thanksgiving holiday weekend in the U.S. brought out more infrequent flyers, providing opportunities for unexpected first experiences with airline baggage fees. But the a la carte trend isn't just a pain for recreational travelers. The latest Zagat survey finds it's also the bane of frequent flyers. The Zagat survey started in 1979 and has grown to become a popular source of organized feedback on travel experiences. In its recent survey of airline travel, Zagat took input from 8,000 frequent flyers who collectively took over 139,000 flights in the past year. The findings show the declining airline experience is more than anecdotal. When asked how they react to fees for checked baggage, 45% of respondents said they try to avoid flying airlines that charge them. 42% say they have frequent flyer status on an airline that waives the fees. 33% say they travel only with a carry-on. And 18% grudgingly pay those fees. Southwest Airlines, not surprisingly, is a favorite among respondents, winning Best Check-in Experience, Best Luggage Policy, Best Consumer On-Time Estimates, Top Website, and Best Value among domestic airlines. Favorite airports are topped off by PDX, Portland, followed by Tampa and Salt Lake City. At the bottom of the list are JFK, Philadelphia International, LAX, Miami, and, consistently bringing up the rear since 2007, New York LaGuardia. Find lots more detail on additional categories in the text version of this story, dated December 1st, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Boeing openly scoffs at the Airbus A320neo. A new commercial development gets a through-the-fence agreement. And a woman emerges from an AIT scan to find her purse gone. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222. 2020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Airbus has announced new engine options for the A320. Known as the A320neo for new engine option, the plane offers a choice between CFM International's LeapX engine and Pratt & Whitney's Pure Power PW1100G. The upgrade also incorporates large wingtip devices called sharklets. Airbus plans to start deliveries in the spring of 2016. The company claims fuel savings up to 15%, CO2 savings, and significantly lower emissions of oxides of nitrogen, reduced engine noise, lower operating costs, and up to 500 nautical miles more range, or just over 2 tons more payload. Boeing responds that Airbus is simply trying to keep up with the next generation 737. Reuters quotes a spokesman who says the 737 is significantly more fuel efficient than the A320, and that improvements are being made on an ongoing basis. He also said Boeing offers airlines the option of a new engine on the 737NG or an all-new airplane option. The FAA remains intransigent on residential through-the-fence agreements at federally funded airports, but apparently you can still get a commercial one done. The St. Joe Company, a Northwest Florida real estate developer, has secured a master airport access agreement with the Panama City, Bay County Airport and Industrial District for access to the new Northwest Florida Beaches International Airport. This TTF will allow companies within Venture Crossings Enterprise Center, St. Joe's new commercial development adjacent to the airport, direct access to airport taxiways and runways at 3 initial through-the-fence access points and provides for additional access points in the future. St. Joe CEO Britt Green predicts, quote, "With taxiway and runway access, virtually unlimited greenfield expansion capability adjacent to an international airport, and the ease of contracting with a single private entity, we are confident that Venture Crossings will be an ideal location for businesses across a wide range of industries," unquote. There are apparently opportunistic thieves everywhere. A woman who had been directed to a full body scanner at Indianapolis International Airport Sunday had her purse stolen by another woman in the security line. The passenger from New York placed her personal items on the conveyor belt for X-ray, but was then directed to the body scanner. When she went to retrieve her belongings, she discovered that her purse had been taken from the plastic bin. WRTV reports that a review of security tapes identified the thief, Tatiana Brown from Virginia, who was later caught in another part of the terminal. Brown was traveling with her 3-year-old granddaughter. She was arrested and charged with theft. The child was left in the custody of grandparents. Still ahead, Terrafugia lands a contract to help AAI develop the flying Humvee. An Air India first officer messes up, and the U.S. Navy paints itself into a corner. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The idea of a flying car for the masses has sparked the imaginations of millions of private citizens and even planners at NASA. But it also appears to be a reliable recipe for attracting government funding. The latest example is Terrafugia, which is working on its second-generation prototype for the Transition, a rotable aircraft open for deposits now. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, has looked at the work done by Terrafugia to date in areas of drive and flight integration, deployable flight surfaces, and automotive crash safety for an aircraft. Now, the fledgling company has been named a major subcontractor to AAI, a Textron division, in its work to develop a flying Humvee for the military. The vehicle, also known as the Transformer, or TX, would function like a Humvee on the ground, while also providing helicopter-like mobility. Range would be 280 miles by land and air, using vertical takeoff and landing to increase access to difficult terrain, and automating flight controls to allow it to be flown by non-pilots. AAI hopes to fly a prototype by 2015. The budget for the project is $65 million. It would be nice to think that all pilots everywhere are competent, current, and thoroughly professional. Apparently not. India's Directorate General of Civil Aviation promises action will be taken against the first officer of an Air India Express 737 after he inadvertently pushed the control column forward while adjusting his seat, losing 6,000 feet in altitude. The incident reportedly happened while the captain was locked out of the cockpit on a bathroom break, and the first officer was so panicked he could neither regain control nor open the door. The captain eventually used a security code to open the door, but then had to fight the FO's incorrect inputs on the controls. Australia's news.com.au reports nobody was injured, but unsecured items fell into the aisle. And finally today, the U.S. Navy has admitted an embarrassing problem with a new F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. The engine powering the fighter, Pratt & Whitney's F-135, is too big to fit inside any of the Navy's aircraft, so getting a replacement into the field could be an issue. If the weather's good, the engine can be carried as a sling load beneath a V-22 Osprey tilt rotor, but the Navy doesn't have any of those and doesn't plan to get any, so the Marines would have to be willing to help out. And even if that does work out, the engine's too heavy at 9,400 pounds with crate to be transferred to and from a supply ship while underway. The newer Gerald R. Ford-class carriers would be able to handle the load, but only one of those is expected to be operational when the first F-35 squadrons deploy between 2015 and 2018. The proposed alternative F-136 engine, being developed by Rolls-Royce and GE, has the same problem. So all of a sudden, if you built an RV6 and found out you can't get it out the barn doors with the wings on, you suddenly don't look so silly. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the second and concluding part of Jim Campbell's conversation with new EAA President Rod Hightower. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.